Gamers, welcome back to another episode of Mishmashi Mahlash Podcast. I'm your host Abdul, and this is definitely the first time I'm recording this intro of this podcast. Actually, it has been quite some time that literally my microphone Umar bil Ghabra and my throat and my vocal cords Ghmelo. I can feel the gunk كيتحرك every time I usher in these words. And the moment اللي قلت فيها مش ماشي محلاش, I felt myself بحال كن, you know how in movies فاش كيهزو شي كتاب قديم كيزولو منه الغبرة كاين في الطوف, بحال كن I'm kind of having that right now with my voice and also with the microphone and everything. Again, I know it has been quite some time that I've came back to podcasting وصراحة yes, but do I apologize for it? صراحة no. علاش؟ Because if you compare what I've been saying in the previous episode مع دابا, I've been busy with life, man. I've been busy making memories, meeting friends, having fun, you know, doing all that international students experience. And most importantly, I've been busy making content and creating content for this podcast to tell. Recently, I've been picking up any video editing, المونتاج الصاط, and I've been trying to do that and get back into video editing, recording a few vlogs, and that's been great. But I can't wait to talk. I miss talking, you know. I miss having these little corner episodes that we just talk. And also, I've been busy trying to make fucking memories, and hopefully that will eventually turn into podcast episodes or ideas. And that is exactly شنو وقع اليوم. I've had an amazing, very, very amazing experience. Actually, I would love to tell you. I'm not going to say much. Like, and all I'm going to say is that I spoke to a few old Japanese people, specifically a woman, 70-year-ish old woman, happily married for more than 50 years. And I got her little secrets and her little rules of love and how she believes everyone should love. And sarhatan, I'm not gonna say much, but like when she was telling me this, I was stopped her mid-conversation. I was like, is it okay for me to nakhod notes, نقيد the rules, and also can I share this with the world? And then she was like, yeah, you can, it's pretty sick. And I was like, yeah, fucking thank you, bro. So that's all I'm going to tell you. I'm going to edge you to the actual story. But apart from that, let's actually get into how this all started. So, woke up at 8 o'clock. I woke up very sleep deprived because last night I didn't sleep at 8 o'clock. So it was fine. It was not fun. I woke up very sleepy and tired. But again, I was not going to let that stop me from this event. And keep in mind how I got into contact with Leiba, or how I even got this opportunity, was through a university exchange program, Jel, a host family. And 3 weeks ago, Past Abdul made the lucky decision of signing up for this exchange program, which I enjoyed, which made me very curious. And the program was all about connecting us international students with a random Japanese family and just spend the day, get adopted by a family. It's like a Roblox fucking game, you know, adopts me or something. And I signed up because that sounded interesting. And the days leading up to this little event, I was kind of thinking of not doing it. I kind of settled on me that I have to sit with people for like 5 hours and try to bring up conversations. And while I am an extrovert and I can do with Leibajer Ladra or small talk for like maybe just sad max, you know, like you got just sad max before you lose me, bro. Like after just sad, I'm gonna go non-verbal, I'm gonna go non-communicative. May I push through even with my lack of sleep? I go. The events keep the flashara. I'm supposed to meet this host family flashara, and I immediately the bus li kunt ghanakhda zak 10 qal soud 9:40. Immediately I knew I was gonna be late, so I called up the place. I was like, "Yo, this is blah 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 blah. I'm calling from blah blah blah." I'm gonna be late, أنت عطل, اسمح لي, I ain't got shit to do, bro. اصبر علي 11 على 4 ساعة. You can take the Moroccan into Japan, but you can't take out the Moroccan even in Japan, bro. I'm gonna be late, بغيت يقول لك راسي. So, I hop on the bus, right? And what y'all need to know, what enough Japanese bus, en general, Japanese people en general, rarely anyone I had talk to, okay? I've became adapted to this fact that I'm not really going to talk to you. And I've had this happen very much, where the bus is plain, and there's a kursi khawi li ana feh, and kursi ki hizjuj diyan mnadem, kankun ana gas on khams, and nobody would sit. The Japanese people would not sit next to me. And at first, I'm so fucking happy about it because that means a full seat to me. And I was like, yeah, fuck you. If you don't want to sit here, I'm balling, bro. But generally, what you should know is that in Japan, unless somebody wants money out of you, or like you are in trouble, nobody will ever talk to you in Japan. It's very... And what I mean by wanting money out of you, I don't mean like شوحيد كيساء, no. كان يعني شي واحد مثلا like a salesman ولا شي حاجة باغي يبيع لك شي برودوي ولا شي حاجة. But apart from these two scenarios, nobody in Japan will ever speak to you. I was very surprised ففاش كنت جالس reading my fucking book, by the way, with earphones on, listening to music. This Japanese guy sits next to me هكا في الكرسي ديالي, and I was like, alright, whatever, this is new, whatever. And then maybe 5 minutes afterwards, عطاني حلوة. And then دقت الحلوة, عطاني حلوة, he gave me a candy, and I looked at him, I was like, oh, thank you. Maybe in retrospect, maybe I shouldn't, ما كانش عليا ناكل الحلوة ديالو, but I decided to say fuck it and do it. So I unwrap it, obviously clueless about anything. If that bitch was spiked, I was dead, bro, sorry. And I was clueless, so I take the candy, I eat it, and I tell him, oh yeah, thank you, man, that was good, that was nice. He's like, yeah. And then he used that as an excuse to talk. And this guy, I'm pretty sure, he's like 60-ish years old. Okay, I don't know if it's English, and I don't even think he spoke English during our conversation. He was speaking full Japanese, and I was trying to understand what he was saying. And whenever he's talking, I'm like, so. Oh, なるほど. 大変ですね. And I would just keep repeating that for like 30 minutes, the conversation that we had. And he starts talking to me, you know, the basic serial killer stuff. What's your name? What do you do? Where do you live? Dekshi Kamel. Basic grandma, grandparent stuff, I think. I don't know. Obviously, this guy's a little... Still, I'm a little bit uncomfortable about this guy. So, I don't give him real answers. Got there some fake answers just to make up. And then I ask him, I'm like, oh, about you? What do you do? Blah, blah, blah. And this guy is apparently a professional pachinko. Not a professional pachinko. What am I saying? This guy is an old fart. He plays pachinko. And if you don't know, pachinko is like a gambling game in Japan. It's like gambling casinos for everywhere else, but it's in Japan. It's like with metal balls. Like, it's it's weird. It's shitty. Well, he tells me he's a pachinko player and he's out today. This, keep in mind, this was a Saturday. Or last Sunday. I forgot. Well, yeah, pachinko player, I play pachinko, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, so how old are you? He's like, I'm like 65. Kind of weird for a guy to be 65 and all you do is play pachinko and drink. But I can, fine. I you're a slob, but I don't care. Who am I to judge? Oh, and keep in mind, this guy was dressed out to do a zoo, bro. Drip, non-existent, but again, the most outlandish pieces of clothes I've ever seen. And I'm pretty sure any like one of those Gen Z influencers saw that shit in a thrift shop, they would immediately cop it. This guy had drip, but not for his age. So I can sense that this guy is a little bit crazy, you know, a little bit unhinged. And eventually, he asks me, oh, do you have girlfriend? And I'm like, no, I don't have girlfriend. I don't want to have. He's like, oh, why? Why not date Japanese girls? I'm like, bro, I don't want to date Japanese girls. And then he was like, being fucking Sigma moments. I was like, oh, so what about you? Are you married? I say that in the most passive aggressive tone, just so like get a little dagger going in him, you know. He's like, oh no, I'm old and I can't find love, you know, women my age. Oh yeah, obviously you're fucking, you're not married, bro. You're like 65 years old and you play pachinko and you get drunk every day. Nobody wants to marry you, bro. You're a mess. And then, yeah. I learned, and this was sealed the deal that this guy's fucking weird, because then he just kept on rambling, and what I learned from his conversation was, and now, البارح he played pachinko, البارح from that day he played pachinko, and he turned like 2000 yen, which is like 100 درهم 120 درهم, into a بألف yen, which is like 200 درهم 220 درهم, something like that. And he's like, yeah, I made some good profits, and then he tells me, بلي, ah, في خبارك بلي اليوم عمشي للبس, ما عنديش حتى الفلوس دي الرجع. غمشي صافي, الفلوس دي اليوم علي بيهم والفلوس دي مشي. And then I was like, oh, okay, so if you can't come back home في البس, then شاسمين. And then he was like, ah, لا, don't worry about it. إلا ربحت, I'll just win the money and I'll get to go back home on a bus. وإلا خسرت, then I'll just walk back home. And this was في العشرة قلت له الصباح essentially, and I was trying so hard not to laugh my ass out because this guy was fucking And then we keep on sitting and he's initiating all the conversation, and then he's like, oh, خبارك, I used to be a chef. I specialized in Okinawa food. I was a chef. I worked as a chef. And I'm like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Well, what are there some recommendations ديال like Okinawa food? And then he's like, ah, Okinawa food. هنا في Kanazawa, which is like the region where I'm at, it's different from Okinawa. Maybe hard to find. And then he was being pushy and he was like, well, actually, you love to see like some good Okinawa food, then like I can just cook for you, you know, I can just hang out and cook for you. And I was like, oh man, yeah, that sounds nice. I said jokingly. But no, bro was actually serious. He's like, oh, قيد نمرة ديالي, قيد. And I was like, okay, at least he's giving me the option, قيد نمرة. So I do. And then I was like, oh, here's your phone, قيد, all is good. And he's like, oh, no, call me right now, like, to make sure, believe just be nine and نمرة دباتنا. At that point, I was bugging, bro, I was stressing. Well, thank God my bus station was like about to come, فين خصني ننزل, it was really close. So I entertained this. And in retrospect, this guy was harmless enough, but also was kind of funny. May I dug down the number. His name was Hori. And I write everything down. And he's like, yeah, nice to meet you. And we conclude. Immediately after I step off the bus, I fucking block that number, delete that number. And guess what? 3 fucking days later, I get a call from a block. I get like a call. Take a wild guess, I think you can fucking guess. But anyways, weird man aside, which felt like a guy from like the Yakuza video game talking to me, I go to the center where I was supposed to meet the host family. And I meet this host family, and it wasn't just me. It was me and واحد البنت أخرى and the host family itself, because we went in pairs, in duos. Obviously, I was late, so I show up. I'm like, "Kontoni sumimasen." I keep on apologizing like so much, because Japanese people and being late and on time is a very serious thing. We meet this woman, and then we start moving. We start moving to the garage. She parked her car, and 5 seconds into this conversation, keep in mind, haven't talked to this woman at all. First time I hadar ma'a, and you know what she fucking says? 5 seconds into this conversation, she's like, oh yeah, you can call me Big Mama. Call me Big Mama. That's 5 seconds into this conversation, she's like, oh no, my name, you don't have to worry about that. Just call me Big Mama. And and then I was like, why Big Mama? She was like, well, yeah, because I'm a mama and I'm also kind of big. For fucking reference, this woman was not big. I'm pretty sure she suffers from like Japanese beauty standards, but this woman looked very healthy, bro. She was very fit and healthy. Why is she big? I refuse to call her Big Mama. I was like, I'll call you Mama, but I'll not call you Big Mama, bro. What the fuck? And then what made it even way funnier, At this point, I was tweaking his. I was like, did I just wake up on the wrong fucking side of the bed or something? Because why is this day so fucking random? And we go to her car. And her car, I swear to God, it was like, if her car was in the fucking US, then she would have ops, bro. After Elish, because she was fully kitted out, like she was part of Bloods. And if the ops of the Crips walked by, then she would be fucking dead, bro. Her car, fully red car. The blast of inkats hot fair ask the car had red bandanas wrapped around them. And you check the back where we were sitting, fucking red customizable seat belt thingy. And I was like, bro, why is this car excessively red? What is there about this? And given Billy, I don't shy away from these very interesting subjects, sensing Billy there's something interesting to me, I ask her, I'm like, yo, why is this car so fucking red? No shame. By the way, I haven't even asked her for her name. I haven't even asked her about like her life details. I was like, yo, why is this car fucking red, bro? Like, what is up with this? She says, Billy, apparently in Japan, when you turn 60, like, you celebrate by, like, owning a red car or whatever, and, like, her husband bought it for her, and I'm like, oh, that's very cute, that's very nice of you, that's very nice. And then I felt like a piece of shit, because I'm like, why am I being so confrontational with this woman? When we get on the car, we start driving around, she starts talking, and then eventually we start talking about foods, and it makes it into sushi, and we start talking about sushi. And two things I have to say, okay? One, she was very nice because once she knew that we liked sushi, she was like, oh, we're going to have a sushi night. So we go grocery shopping, like in supermarché, and we buy sushi stuff and like dinner stuff as well. And this woman just casually drops off. Wait. I'm not even going to say a random number. I am currently looking up the exchange rate, the Japanese yen to the Moroccan dirham. And I'm going to tell you how much this woman dropped a single supermarket for like 2 hours for two random strangers. This woman spent 850 dirham on groceries, not even groceries, like meals for two random people that she just met, plus her family. 850 dirham for a meal, 13,000 yen. And keep in mind, you can get a very good meal for three or four people for like 5,000 yen. This was going over the top. She dropped a baller fucking amount for no reason. At this point, I was like, wow, this woman is going all out, bro. My second thing when we were talking about sushi, and I learned this. Okay. This was part of why I started doing this thing. I know it makes me such an asshole. Like, I started doing this thing in Japan where I just, like, just say, like, a fucking, like, harmless lie and just go with it for the sake of the joke. Or my friend would say something and I would just go with the fucking joke. So I just randomly pop up. I'm like, oh, yeah, in Morocco, we eat our sushi with Tabasco, you know? We have a little dipping sauce with Tabasco with the sushi. And then she was like, oh, wow, really? That's so interesting. I'm like, yeah. Like, Tabasco sushi is very fucking good. You guys should try it out. I've never seen anyone do that. And it was, I don't know why I fucking said that. I think just demons took over me in the church. I don't know why I said that. But I kept, I was like, okay, I'm just going to roll it. I can't lie to this woman. I'm going to stick to the bit and I'm going to fucking continue with the bit. I'm not swerving or anything. So we go to her home and it's like, oh, like they drew like this little portrait thingy. It was so cute. And then we like meet her family. There's like two kids. They're like 19 years old. They're not kids. They're like young adults. We talk to them. This guy had like a one piece shirt. I'm like, yo, sick one piece shirt. And we chill. And then we have food. And then like she whips up the Tabasco. She's like, oh, yeah, let's have sushi Moroccan style. And I see every one of their face. They hated it so fucking much. I tried it out as well. I hated it. I had to stick to the bit. I was like, yeah, this is very nostalgic. I remember what made me laugh. One of the guys in Likens Medical Aila legitimately started sweating, bro. I can see the sweat form on his eyes. And Japanese people, they don't do this, but this guy was sweating because he just wanted to be nice and explore like the cultural difference based on a fucking lie that I told, and I couldn't find my stuff quick enough from this lie, so I had to stick to the bit. And even when like the big mama tried it, she's like, this is very nice, but I think maybe this should be like the last piece of sushi you have before you finish the meal. And it's kind of beautiful because she just told me in the most subtle way that this fucking sucks and I'll never eat this shit again. And I don't blame her because that shit fucking sucked. It was my first time trying sushi with Tabasco and it sucked ass. But it's okay. Can we guys just all pretend like we're like a niche community now, right? Can we just make it that we're all like, if you have like foreign friends or whatever, can we just like gaslight everyone into thinking that like Tabasco with sushi is a Moroccan thing, and we can just have like this running gag where we just do it? I think that would be a sick bit. I think we can just do it. You guys, if you know a foreign friend, you have an international friend or a foreign friend, tell them that in Morocco, you eat your sushi with Tabasco and just run with the bit. It's going to be amazing. But anywho, now we're actually moving on to the juice this episode and probably why you clicked 20 fucking minutes into this episode because I'm a shit host. It's fine. You're entertained. I think you're entertained. You are entertained. I don't care. We eat and then we relax. And then she's like, oh, go take a nap. It's siesta time. Vamos a la siesta or whatever. We go to siesta and she's like, yeah, we're gonna take a nap, and after we wake up then we're like, whatever. She puts us on this big fucking couch, really relaxing. Like feel level like whatever. It was so relaxing. I fucking slept, bro. Anyways, like 1 hour later, after a nap, everybody goes to sleep. We wake up, me and that girl, we're like chilling. And the old woman, the big mama, she also like wakes up, and then we have like a little conversation together. And this is when we ended up talking about her and her husband, all their lovey-dovey stuff. And then that's when she dropped the fact that before she married her husband, she sat with him and asked him 10 questions. By the way, they were like, they met middle school, and they re-met once again after high school, and they started like their romance thing. And the first thing she said was, and this guy was fucking short, yet I was still dating him. She was like, I don't know why this guy was short, but I thought he was smart, and his smartness made up for his shortness. And I was like, I can't believe that even back in the past, short kings had it hard. Short kings had it hard, even in the past. But that guy was a short king. He was a smart short king. I fucking love that guy. Maybe when things actually got serious and it was time for her to get married to this dude, she was like, I sat with him. I told him my 10 rules of love, and I asked him these questions. And if he didn't answer these questions the way I wanted, then I wouldn't have married him. And I was like, oh, this is some serious shit. Now I need to know these 10 rules of love. And I learned these rules of love, and I'm gonna tell you these rules of love, okay? And you're gonna appreciate her rules of love, because they're jokes aside, they're pretty cute and wholesome, and I kind of love them, and they actually make sense once you think just slightly about it. But let's get onto the list, shall we? So, before we start the list, we have to start with rule zero, which is, according to her, you cannot have an intimate relationship or a very good relationship if you were not friends in the first place. According to her, you first have to be friends and then become lovers and intimate. If you're not friends, to become lovers, then you don't have a good relationship and it's gonna suck. And my honest opinion, I think she's cooking. I think maybe not necessarily you have to be friends, but I do feel like you have to know this person very, very well, non-romantically, but before you even get into the relationship. That's what I think as well. I think believe as you date someone, or you start dating someone, you have this pretense or like you are more inclined on the تصرف وتفعل like in a certain way where you kind of like show off how good you are or something. So first you know this person like non-romantically for a while, you do actually get to know their real personality because there's no stakes or values around anything. So she's cooking. And let me actually move on to the first rule. And you know what? I can't even disagree to this rule. Rule number one for her 10 rules of love. Men should always love more in a relationship. And هنا كاين شوية ديال mistranslation, I admit. ولكن I'm pretty sure what she meant in the way that she described it. هو أن in relationship, like in a relationship, both of you, the man should usually be the one that loves other pursuits more. Bimana, if like you're a married couple or whatever, and the girl does 40% of the love out of 40% of the like pursuits or whatever, then 60% has to be from the man. He has to take the initiative. He has to love, essentially. So he should always love more. He should always have the initiative. Sarah Hassan, let her cook. Most of the times, if the man is the one that is doing most of the like pursuits of love, or being the most active part. I'm not saying most. I'm saying like most of the times, that is like traditional gender roles, and that is, I feel like, a successful way to assert how lovey-dovey you are. And I understand. And all I can say is I understand. Although there's some bias, hits, how do you measure, like, I love a bain for me or a clitin for me of our relationship. You love sin or less bain for me in our relationship. That's kind of hard to quantify. How do you give love numbers? Love is so big and vast that you can't just make it into numbers. And it's also so complicated. Spiritually, I understand what she's saying. And her second rule is that the man that she marries should love kids. Now, I do admit, I'm kind of clickbaited you into this, because I know it says 10 rules of love, ولكن this feels, as she was describing it, I was like, these are 10 rules, yeah, but also, this kind of feels like you're just describing your type, out like your green flags, out like your, like, what do they call them? Your non-negotiables a relationship, and I don't think she's really kept up with fucking orange peeling theory a la star-crossed lovers or whatever. I don't think she watches those TikToks. I don't think she knows what Muin or Morgan is or what orange peeling theory is. So I'm just gonna let her have this idea. I'm not gonna start to break or explain, this actually sounds like a beige flag or your green flags. You shouldn't call this the rules of love, bro. I'm just going to let her have it, and I'm also going to stick to it. She meant 10 rules of love, and I'm going to translate 10 rules of love. I'm just a translator and a messenger. Don't shoot me. But moving to second rule, yeah, you should love kids. If you're going to be married and have kids, I feel like من الأساسيات أو من المعقول هو أن you should love kids. That's very basic. The third rule, هو أن you take care of your partner takes care of their parents and your parents forever or until they die. Meaning, and this person is a family guy. Lewis, this guy is a family guy who loves his parents and takes care of them. And also equally, not equally, but takes care of your parents or like the in-laws, their in-laws, the relationship. So all parents in the relationship are included and loved and taken care of. And that's a good rule. I can't deny it. And the fourth rule, my partner should not gamble. I feel like also this is good. I mean, you shouldn't gamble. Gambling is bad. Waha, you are like one spin away from a gazillion trillion dirhams. If you're a married man, you shouldn't gamble. And that guy on the bus is living proof that when you play pachinko or gamble when you're like 60 plus years old, you're gonna have a shitty life, or you do have a shitty life. So don't gamble, and this is pretty much obvious. Number five, her rule, وأن this person does not drink or smoke everywhere. And for context, على التوضيح, she said that a little is fine, but it has to be the right time or the right place. And by that, I'm just gonna assume باللي إن it's like social drinking or social smoking. I think that's what she meant. And she also made a very, very clear point that her husband should not smoke or drink in her house. If it's in her house, you can't smoke and you can't drink. And if you do, we're gonna kick you out of the house. And honestly, slay. I can't even say anything. Smoking in house is fucking disgusting. And drinking is whatever. So she has a point. So far, 5 W's in a row, no L's. So, هو أن my partner does not loan money. And by that, she doesn't mean like, okay, and say for example, I'm your husband and I have a friend who like, ما عارف حتاج, like, I don't know, جوج دراهم حيت كانت ناقصها باش يشبر التاكسي ولا whatever. She didn't mean that type of loaning money. She meant more of like, I'm your husband and I have a friend who came to me, he's like, yo, I'm gonna start this sick ass business project, but ناقصني عا واحد جوج مليون. Can you just borrow me and I'll pay you back when like the money comes in, you know? That type of money loans. And in the Western world, this is really not common. But apparently in Japan, due to like peer pressure and how people can't say no in Japan, fucking weird, this is more common than you think, where people will like loan out millions of yens to someone else, just fuck it. But yeah, be smart about your money, be nice about your money, and just be logical. 6 W's in a row, auntie does not fucking miss. But moving on to rule number 7, who and your partner does not join new religions. And by that, she didn't mean like the popular religions. She meant like cults. Cults, like in Japan, كل خمسة دقائق, there's like a new cult who are preaching for world order or whatever. And she meant that my partner should not join these cults, because these cults, alwaq, they start asking you for money, time, commitments. You don't need me to tell you how bad cults are. Go watch Midsummer, play Far Cry 5 or something. That will tell you everything. I'm playing through Far Cry 5, by the way. I can't believe that I'm enjoying a game made by Ubisoft, a AAA game made by Ubisoft, but it's fun. I'm liking Far Cry 5. It's the cult theming is on point. The game is smooth and I'm having so much fun. But anyways, 7 W's in a row, auntie can't lose. Rule number 8, your partner always checks on your health. And by that she means, if she was in a relationship with someone, her partner, her ideal partner, would every day be like, oh, how are you feeling? Are you okay? I see that you're coughing a little bit. Are you fine? Are you okay? I see you're a little bit down. Are you okay? And auntie just describes what communicative partners are, you know, somebody who pays attention, somebody who knows, who can clearly see when their partner is doing wrong. And auntie is not fucking missing. She knows her love. She keeps hitting these points each fucking time. And this is, I think that it should have been number 2, not number 8. Like, and it's a good rule nonetheless. It speaks volumes, essentially. Number 9 is that your partner or her partner should help and keep up with relatives and neighbors whenever possible. She means, with how she explained it, I think she meant like her partner should be like friends and like helping his neighbors and like his relatives and like the people who surround him. They're like helping him and like communicating with them or like that type of stuff, yani engage within the local community and helping the local community. And community is a very, very micro, I mean it in a very, very micro way, like الحومة, essentially, like انت ما عرف الحومة كتعاون الدراري الحومة كتعاون الرجال الحومة الحومة كتوقع فيها, like that type of words, you know. And to me, this is good but not a must. I feel it's not a must, but also it's good. It's good that it's there. Number 10. And this was very poetic when she said it, and I loved it so much. Her final rule for love, when my partner should make efforts every day. And she didn't mean you make an effort in the relationship itself, although it would be appreciated and loved, Zama. Like, she explained my partner every day should make an effort towards a goal or something. Yani, they have a project going on, so they make efforts. They're learning a new language, so they make the efforts. She means that every day her partner should be making an effort towards something, no matter what it is, so long as there is just and that you are making efforts every day. And to me, that was very poetic, and I enjoyed it very much. And I felt like it was such a good rule to finish the day with, or like the little conversation we had with. And it was honestly a great advice. I don't even think it's an advice guide, yeah, love, but also just generally a good love life advice. So after these rules, we keep on talking, and then we have dinner together. I ate raw egg for the second time in Japan, not the first time. And it was banger. I'm gonna say raw egg, banger. I don't know. Japan is very strict about their raw egg stuff, and their raw egg is very good, very tasty. I see what they're cooking, and I believe in the vision. So after that, we keep on talking and have like blah, blah, blah. It was honestly very fun. I didn't feel the time pass. Ooh, honestly, I expected it to be way more awkward, but I performed more than I thought. Ooh, the girl who was with me performed better than I thought. And even they were kinder than I thought. And I felt so grateful, and it felt so nice to be appreciated and to have these perspectives from people. Lemon, different culture. Lemon, different age groups. Because even though, like, Japanese people are different. It doesn't change, like, a Japanese person who's at our age, yani, like, Gen Z, university age. While there is some cultural differences, the same fundamental ideas. We all have the same fundamental ideas. So you can feel that there is a difference, but it's not a very major difference. And I feel like talking to an older person from a much more different perspective, it was refreshing and nice. Honestly, nice. I feel very nice about it. Arguably, they had a basketball net. I wanted to play basketball there. I wanted to be Kobe in the courts. Like, and I didn't have time, and I didn't have the right clothes for it. But it was fun. After that, they drove us back home. Literally back home. And the day was done. And it was fun. And then Lagadda, she messages me online. She's like, how are you doing? I hope you're doing well from your cough. I hope you're not sick anymore. I hope you're recovering. And then she's like, we should do another one during the break where we travel together. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's so nice of you. Let's do it again. Also, humble apologies. I kind of got sidetracked. I browsed Instagram and TikTok before, during the recording of this episode. I don't fucking care, man. I kind of lost the plot anyways. But eventually, that's what I wanted to talk about. And also, stick around to the end. There's a little special something for you. You know, there's a little something special there. Muhim, if you enjoyed this episode, please recommend it to a friend, maybe. If you liked it, let me know, you know, on Instagram, on Spotify. Just let me know. Kind of helps nobly people out there enjoy this, so I can crank out more of this. If you haven't, check out my YouTube. I posted those vlogs. I posted my travel vlogs. They're really shit, but some of you enjoy it. So, fine. Fuck it. You're too nice. You're too nice anyways. You're way too nice. But that's about it. And I hope I see you next episode, and stay curious, stay safe, I don't know, stay happy, love people, smile more, see you next time. This is the Post Credit Podcast, section, the part where if you're a true gamer who enjoys watching this podcast, you get a little special parse after the end credits. It's like a little special hangout club, you know, where we get to hang out, all the five of us. I forget about you, although momentarily I did, but I didn't forget, trust me. And this time I bring you juicy concepts, because do you know what happened right after this day, 10 Rules of Love? I went on another trip to like a city that was like 1 or 2 hours away from where I'm from. And it was a beautiful city. It had a remote Buddhist island and it was very amazing. The people were so nice. The people were so kind. And the hospitality of these people is fucking amazing, because I met a fisherman. Kind of harbor, you know, Kajmer Huddia, okay, Sayyid, whatever. And this guy, like, I look at him, I bow, and then he continues. And then he doesn't speak English. He's like, come. He just shows me the fish that he caught today, and those were some big ass fishes, bro. Like, I'm talking, bro. That is like the catch of the day. And then he showed us his boats as well. It was amazing. It was so much fun. We found the One Piece. And what's even more fun, we keep on walking through this town and seeing like the festival of Shikamil, and we pass by this house and we see a priest, a Buddhist priest or like a Shinto priest. I don't know which religion it was, but it was a priest, a Japanese priest. We see him doing his thing and we kind of stop and look at him. And this old man just walks up to us. He's like, yeah, this is priest thing. Very interesting, right? And we're like, yeah, bro, that's fucking cool. That's shit. That's cool as fuck. And then and then he just shows us around, like he was part of like the planning committee, the festival, and we got an exclusive look inside the scenes of how those things were made, and it was so cool. He was like, oh no, you have to come over and eat food with us. And I was like, I mean, thank you, but like, we would be way too much. And we thought he was just being nice, he didn't actually mean it, but no. He was like, oh, so and we were like, fuck, I guess an hour. So and we go into his house and we meet his whole family, his grandkids, his uncles, his brothers, his kids. It was so nice. We got to talk to all of those people. And while we were sitting, these guys went out and bought us sushi platters and like sushi fish, like raw fish. And fried foods, and they just served this to us. They're like, please eat. And they were so generous and kind. Or something. And it was lovely. But I just can't help. Like, how are you this fucking charitable, bro? Why are Japanese people this charitable? It is so nice. I swear to God, old people, like, Japanese. And then they're like, Safi, okay, this guy is going to become my fucking... I'm going to treat this guy to the end of the world, bro. And... what can I say? I just have a positive impression. These people were so nice. I feel indebted to them. And legitimately, I think that experience with that guy, the small city, legitimately my highlights of Japan so far. There are other moments at working that. Oh, I don't think I'm forgetting that in a very, very long time. So that was also equally as nice. This was the post-credits podcast section. Delivering your very, very exclusive content. And actually, you know, the normal listeners, you know, like, oh, stay safe. And me, since you're a very special listener, I'm going to tell you, like, oh, I appreciate you. I love you. And I hope you stay safe. And I hope that you tune in next episode. And I hope that we get to have another conversation. And if you do let me know on Instagram. Do let me know. I try to reply. So please let me know. And... I hope I get to see you next week. That is, if I make it next week. You get what I'm trying to say. Fuck off. See you next episode. Bye-bye.